Well, here we are on Resurrection Sunday, on Easter Sunday, as I frequently call it, the best day of the year, for all kinds of reasons, not least of which is that I get to get up really early. We did a sunrise thing in Regina. It was cold this morning, I just like to say, and then the snow started. It's not the worst we've ever had. We've done it in a blizzard, at least once, when Wascana Lake was still frozen right to the bottom. But today wasn't too bad, but still, it gets you going. And here we are on Easter Sunday, one of those Sundays that is still noted by the culture in general, that something's going on around this time of year, whether they understand it or not. And as I was thinking about that, I thought, well, but do we really understand it either? Those of us who grew up in the church, we know all about the timing of Easter. But what does it mean? And I've been going through this process in the last few weeks and months, which you may have noticed, of looking at some things that we all know, or at least that I thought I knew, and making sure I actually know them, and realizing that frequently I don't, or at least not as well as I thought I did, and discovering new things. And so as I was thinking about Easter, what does Easter mean? And I thought I'd clear the decks at least a little bit and cover some of the things that Easter doesn't mean. And Easter does not mean that we're following some kind of strange magician who pulled some kind of a trick at the end of his life, pretended to be dead, and wasn't. This was not David Copperfield in a robe who was pulling the wool over the Romans' eyes. There's no question of that whatsoever. We sometimes hear that that Jesus kind of fainted and then came back to life. And, well, there's a lot of words to describe this, and we'll just leave it at wrong. The chances of someone fooling Roman soldiers whose primary job was taking living people and making them dead people and fooling them into thinking he was dead when he wasn't is essentially zero. And let's just sort of deal with that one. We might be fooled. I mean, speaking of sort of 21st century people who aren't around bodies much, we might be fooled perhaps, but they certainly weren't. So that's not what Easter means. We're also not following, we're not believing or celebrating something that, well, maybe it happened and maybe it didn't. There's lots of reasons why we could dismiss ancient beliefs, but they tend to be based on our own perceptions. And the thing that's interesting is that when you have some idea of what it was like back then, the single biggest reason to believe the resurrection, or to believe the accounts of the resurrection, is that they are recorded as coming from women. And for us in the 21st century, who are at various degrees of enlightenment, we don't find that particularly strange. Well, women happen to be there, so of course. Do you know how many times women were allowed to witness to important things a couple of thousand years ago? Never. Never. There was under no circumstances whatsoever that a woman's testimony in a court of law was accepted unless it was backed up by a man, for example. Women were not allowed to give this kind of testimony. And so when we look at this, if we want to look at the accounts of the resurrection, we want to say these were just made up by people later, there's no way on earth they would make them up with women being the primary witnesses to the initial resurrection of Jesus. And I want to get those out of the way, not because I think we are necessarily struggling with them, but these are the kinds of things that come up every once in a while, and often around Easter. You'll hear well-meaning people telling you why what the Bible records is wrong. And I suppose it's possible that they could come up with a compelling reason at some point. But the ones I've heard so far tend to be based on these 20th and 21st century prejudices and misunderstanding of what's actually going on there. And so if we put those aside, then what does Easter mean? We get together to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. And the resurrection, someone coming back from the dead is worth noting at any time, whether it's a near-death experience on an operating table or after an accident, or whether it's something as complex and as significant as this. People who were dead and are then not dead catch our attention. And in this particular case, we pay more attention to it because what happens, and one of the outcomes of Jesus being raised from the dead, is that it backdates and adds validity and verification to everything he said about himself. The things that he said about himself in the Gospels, and that are occasionally related in some of the other books of the New Testament, only make sense looking back to them from the perspective of Jesus died and was raised from the dead. And that's one of the reasons why we so frequently see the disciples not getting it and why we're kind of frustrated with them. And the frustration only makes sense if we forget that we're looking at it from the other end than they were. They didn't know about the plot twist at the end that made everything make sense. If Jesus wouldn't have been raised from the dead, what Jesus said before wouldn't make any sense. Because the things that Jesus did and the things that Jesus said were consistently moving forward this idea that he was not just an excellent teacher, not just a charismatic rabbi, but that he was something else. That he was the unique connection, the unique bringing together of God and human in what we call the incarnation. There's even some even fancier words for it, which I had almost forgotten, but proving that your undergrad stuff stays with you forever. The hypostatic union, the divine and the human coming together. And when Jesus died and rose again, all of those things that he said, all of those hints that he dropped, that he was more than just this person, suddenly made sense. Everything clicked into place. And what it did is it took Jesus' teachings from being perhaps useful things to pay attention to, in the same way that a good seminar that you go to on the weekend is a good thing to remember, and moved them into the authoritative word of God himself. Without Easter, we don't have that verification. We don't have that authority. What Jesus says is just good ideas. They're just suggestions, if you will. But when we suddenly realize, they change. We need verification sometimes. If you happen to be standing around in a group that's a little unruly, for example, I don't know, after an important game has been won or something, and some miscellaneous person comes up and says, okay, you guys, time to calm down, move along, you may or may not listen. When the person then goes, oh, by the way, I'm an off-duty policeman, here's my identification, it's time for you to move on, we move on. Their authority to tell us what to do has been verified. It's a trivial example of why we need authority. But this is what Easter does. It ratifies what Jesus said before and says this is the words coming from God. So when Jesus says, forgive those whether you want to or not, it's no longer just a suggestion that will improve your mental health. It's God saying, this is how it works. You, as people who have identified yourself with me, forgive others whether you want to or not. And that's one of the biggest things we take from this, is this deep understanding that Jesus was who he said he was, as we now understand from our perspective, and who the church has given witness to for thousands of years, that Jesus was the Son of God, that he was more than just a teacher. And that brings comfort, to be sure. It gives direction that we can now go to the Gospels, we can go to the rest of the New Testament, where people who either knew Jesus or knew Jesus' followers were writing about what this meant. And that's wonderful, and I'm glad for that. But the comfort that I take from Easter is all of that, and yet something more. And the thing that I take from Easter every year, and the thing that brings me the most comfort, and perhaps for you as well, the bottom line for Easter, if you will, is that death doesn't get the last word. When I was young, this didn't mean as much. When you're young, you yourself are immortal. You know perfectly well that you will always be fine. You will always have the energy you have and the abilities that you have at that particular moment. That's what you think. And the people around you, the circle you have, will always be there. That's why people in high school think that the friends they have in high school will be their friends forever, because that's just the way we think. And then we get a little older, and things don't necessarily work out the way we want them to. And we begin to realize that the world in which we live is a fallen world, and it has problems, some of which are ours, and some of which are other people's, and some of which don't seem to be any person's problem in particular, but they affect us. And then at some point, people we know, people we care about, people we deeply love, die. And it changes us forever. And it's going to change us forever, no matter what, because there's a change in our lives that can't be fixed. But what Jesus coming back from the dead says is that death isn't the end. It's a beginning. Now, it's not a beginning for us. It's an end for us who are left behind, and we need to pay attention to that. In a famous passage, Paul talks about how those of us who have this connection with God, who have a relationship with God through Jesus, we don't grieve as other people do because we have a different kind of hope. But he doesn't say we don't grieve. He says we don't grieve like other people do. When we suffer loss, it's a loss. Those people are gone. And without hope, I don't know what we'd do. And what we celebrate every year on this Easter Sunday, on this Resurrection Sunday, is we are reminded once again that death isn't the end, that there's something larger than death. We are reminded that those of us who have gone before, who have been in that relationship with God as well, are not lost to us forever, but one day we will be reunited with them. Jesus was a special case in that he came back on earth for a while. But the ultimate reunion of Jesus' disciples with Jesus happened in heaven, happened in glory, whatever that might look like. And so on Easter Sunday, we get together to celebrate Jesus coming back from the dead. And we look at it from at least a couple of different perspectives. And the two that make the most difference to me are that verification of what Jesus said as being the words of God. And that satisfies part of me that wants to know answers, that wants to know that what I'm talking about and what I believe and what I think is trustworthy. But the other part satisfies a different part of me. And it's a part of me that desperately wants comfort, that wants to know that those people that I have loved who have died are not lost to me forever. But in the same way that Jesus was raised from the dead, they will be and I will be. Not in the identical way, because we're not going to come back to the earth we're on. But death isn't the end. God has always been more powerful than death. God has always been more powerful than everything. But on Easter Sunday, we see the reality of it in a way that we may not see at any other time. And so on Easter Sunday, when we look at each other and we remind ourselves that Christ is risen, that he's come back from the dead, it's a reminder that we too one day will. And we one day will be reunited with our parents, with our friends, with any of those who have gone before, those people that we miss as much as Jesus' followers missed him. What does Easter mean? It means that we can believe what we read. It means that we can believe what we know about Jesus. And it means that death doesn't get the final word. That for those who die in faith, death is an interruption. And that's it. One day, we too will encounter Christ in a way that Mary did and the disciples did. And all those other people that we miss and that we want to be with again. And Easter Sunday convinces us of that again. That Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.